happy Sabbath, dear ones, and welcome to our main church service on this beautiful Sabbath day of November the 8th, 2014. Welcome to those that are listening on the phone and those to the recording and also those that have tuned in to WLMR Radio. And we appreciate you choosing to fellowship with us today. We have a very important subject matter to be discussing and studying into in our service today. And so let's go ahead and move forward. Our opening song for today's service is entitled, All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name. And the lyrics can be found at lightministries.com/ID1912.htm.
All hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. Ye chosen seed of Israel's race, ye ransomed from the fall. Hail him who saves you by his grace, and crown him Lord of all. Hail him who saves you by his grace, and crown him Lord of all. Let every kindred, every tribe on this terrestrial ball, to him all majesty ascribe, and crown him Lord of all. To him all majesty ascribe, and crown him Lord of all. Oh, that with yonder angel throng we at his feet may fall. We'll join the everlasting song and crown him Lord of all. We'll join the everlasting song and crown him Lord of all.
Amen. Beautiful indeed. And thank you, dear brother. I invite you to please kneel and bow your heads for opening prayer to our main church service today. Our dear precious Heavenly Father, we continue to plead for thy presence to be with us, the presence of our Savior and the Holy Spirit. Bless us with the atmosphere, the joy and the love and the light of heaven. Dispel all darkness. Remove temptation in thinking of ourselves away from us. Bathe us with the glory that shines from the face of our Savior. Help us to rise above ourselves and to behold him who is our first love more fully today than we may have ever done before. And we thank you for doing so and for helping us and for being here with us. Dear Father, I pray that thy glory will continue to fill this earth until the earth is completely ablaze with the light of the gospel as the waters cover the sea. And thank you for allowing each one of us to have a part to play in the swelling of your work. And give us the grace and the strength to be faithful and to perform the work that you would have us do. Father, we also have some special prayer requests. We pray for Wes with his teeth problems, that you will help the pain to be eased, and if there's any infection, let it be taken care of, and let him come to rest and trust more in thee. We also pray for that dear brother that has converted from Islam in Africa, who has just lost his wife to sickness. Please comfort him. Let his faith be increased and enlarged, and let him avoid the temptations to believe that you have brought this on, and let him place the blame squarely on the devil's head. Protect him, lead and guide him, and thank you so much for doing so, and for all the other converts from Islam or from any of the other false religions. Continue to increase their faith, hope, and trust in thee, and to rest in your love. We also pray for our dear brother in Mexico, that you will come close to his side and to help him in all areas of need, especially in regards to health. We also pray for our dear sister Joy in Africa, that you will continue to strengthen her and to help her with her heart condition. We also pray for our dear sister Lynn's coworker, that you will continue to work on their heart. Continue to allow the seeds that have been shared to sprout and to grow and to bring about change, a new heart, and let none of the seeds of truth be lost or snatched away. We also pray for our dear brother Nahate, as he is soon to be in meetings and preaching to others. I pray, dear Father, that you will go beforehand and prepare the hearts of his listeners. Let each seed that is shared find good soil to be lodged in and to sprout at the proper time by the Spirit, watering the truth and bringing about conversion and change. Give him the words of wisdom and the spiritual insight to know how to handle any conflict, any disagreement, and to reach the hearts of the people with the message of present truth that they desperately need for these last days. And thank you so much for doing so and for your divine protection. And so, Father, we pray that you will be with us now. Increase our spiritual eyesight and help us to indeed behold wondrous things out of thy word of truth. We thank you for hearing and answering all of these prayers, all of the silent prayer requests, and for indeed being our loving, tender-hearted, compassionate Father and God. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Well, this is part 4 of our series on God Spoke These Divine Words. And last time we saw that there was one common principle running throughout all of God's Ten Commandments. And that principle, we found out, was love. The first four commandments dealt with our love to God, and the last six dealt with our love to fellow human beings. And in addition to this, we learned that there was also one common area which all Ten Commandments were specifically directed against, and that area was selfishness, or doing our own will against God or against other human beings. So this law of God led all of those who kept it to deny self by loving God supremely above all else, and then to deny self by loving their fellow human beings as themselves. So then this meant that if followed, the Ten Commandments would produce perfect peace, rest, happiness, contentment, and prosperity, and would eliminate envy, unrest, disorder, rebellion, and chaos. We then discovered last time that even though God's law was made up of 10 distinct commandments, yet they all intricately blended into each other, thereby making up just one body of law. So this meant that no one could be considered obedient to God if they neglected to keep all 10 commandments. Because to ignore or refuse to obey just one of the commandments actually would make you a breaker of the whole law or of the other 9 commandments as well. We then understood that this 10 commandment law was absolutely perfect in all areas. And so this meant that this law had to be of divine origin and could not have been the product of any sinful human mind. And since this law was God's covenant with mankind, then any who agreed to obey and keep all 10 of these commandments would be binding and pledging themselves in a compact or a league or a covenant agreement with God to be his faithful followers. And the Lord God Michael in turn would be binding and pledging himself in the same covenant agreement with them to be their faithful Lord God. So this binding covenant of pledging faithfulness to one another was just like a marriage contract between husband and wife. The Lord God Michael pledging himself to be their faithful God or husband, and they pledging themselves to be his faithful people or wife. We then amazingly learned that after giving his law of 10 commandments, and after the Israelites had pledged to keep it, the Lord God Michael then revealed himself to all the leaders of the Israelites at the time appointed, and they were clearly able to see his feet and to know that he was a real God. And after this, Moses then asked God to show him his glory, and Michael compassionately agreed to do so. And the next morning, the mighty Lord God Michael descended in a cloud, gently picked up Moses with his divine hand, and placed him in the cleft of a rock, and covered his sight with his hand. Then as the Lord, his glory, and his goodness or beauty passed by, Moses heard the Lord God proclaim the name of the Lord, stating, "The Lord, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and upon the children's children, and to the third and to the fourth generation," which was from Exodus 34, verses 6 to 7. The Lord God Michael then removed his divine hand so that Moses could see the divine features and form of his head, shoulders, back, hips, legs, and feet as Michael continued walking by him. Just amazing, dear ones. But we see from what Michael declared that the name which Moses heard and the glory that he saw pass by him were all inseparably connected with the goodness or beauty of God's character. And exactly what was the type of the character of the Lord God Michael that was revealed to Moses? The Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and upon the children's children unto the third and to the fourth generation. So there were revealed 9 different aspects of the character of God. And we will begin today investigating into each one of these different aspects. And for those that would like to follow along with the quotes that I'll be referring to, they're found at lightministries.com/SDA/ID1415.htm. Now, if you look at quote number 1, what was the first attribute or characteristic of the name or glory or character of the Lord? The Lord God Michael is merciful. Now, when you look up the Hebrew word for merciful that's used here, you'll find that it is rakum. And this word translates and means full of compassion and mercy. And that was from Strong's Exhaustive Concordance, word number 7349. And this word rakum is derived from the Hebrew word rakam, which translates and means to fondle, to love, to have pity. And this is from Strong's word number 7355. So then we find that this word merciful reveals to us the compassion of the Lord God, that it's not manifested from a motive of grudgingly extending mercy towards troublesome inferiors because we don't know any better. And nor is his compassion manifested from a selfish motive of desiring to gain advantages over us because of our plight. And nor is God's compassion manifested devoid of any feeling at all. But the Lord God Michael manifests mercy and compassion towards us because he loves us and he longs to fondle or tenderly hold and comfort us in his strong arms. So Michael's heart is touched with pity by seeing his fallen creation having to go through all of the problems and adversities of a life that's brought about because of our choice to sin, and then of having to live in a world under the control of Lucifer. So then, as love seeketh not her own, as we're told in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 5, then it is only out of a heart of tender compassion and mercy that the Lord God Michael lovingly reaches out to try and rescue all that he can from remaining bound to sin, from remaining under the control of Lucifer, and from receiving destruction in the end. Now, if you look at quote number 2, what was the second characteristic of the Lord God? The Lord God Michael is gracious. Now, the Hebrew word for gracious used here is chanan, which translates and means gracious, which is Strong's word number 2587. And this word is derived from the Hebrew word chanan, which translates and means to bend or stoop in kindness to an inferior, to favor, to bestow, to implore or move to favor by petition, to entreat, to make supplication, which is Strong's word number 2603. So as Michael is our God and creator, he is so much greater in power and authority than any and all of his creation combined. Yet the mighty Lord God Michael willingly bends and stoops down to favor us with his blessings and bestow upon us his love and merciful kindness. And as love vaunteth not itself, as we're told in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4, so the Lord God Michael reveals his love to us by not flaunting his exalted divine dignity in our faces and then refuse to have anything further to do with us inferiors. And as love is also not puffed up, as we're told in 1 Corinthians 13, 4, then neither does Michael take the position that once he created us, then we are now all on our own and must then deal with our own choices and suffer the consequence of our evil actions alone and without any hope of divine help. So even though humanity chose to disobey him and to follow Lucifer, yet the Lord God Michael did not abandon us. And this is because he knew what torture and misery would have to be endured under the absolute control of Lucifer. And he also knew that once sin was chosen, then humanity would need his divine help more than ever in order to obtain freedom. So instead of leaving us to the consequences of our own choice, the mighty Lord God Michael instead humbled himself and came even closer to us in order that we might be able to know him better and to understand his love for us. And with this extra knowledge, then we would be more willing to follow and obey him and thus to obtain his help in escaping from sin and from the devil. But the graciousness of the Lord God here means more than just personally favoring and bestowing blessings upon inferiors. So since the Lord God Michael is lower in authority and command to the Almighty Lord God of heaven, then Michael graciously implores, petitions, and makes supplication to the Almighty to also favor mankind and be gracious to them for his sake. And yet it's not like the Almighty is not interested in the welfare of mankind and has to first be petitioned before he will be gracious and grant us his favor. But as the Lord God Michael is a representative to mankind of the Almighty, then the character that Michael is seen manifesting towards mankind is the same exact character which the Almighty has. So in seeing the loving, tender, and merciful character of the Lord God Michael, we are actually seeing the same exact loving, tender, and merciful character of the Almighty being manifested to each one of us. Now, if you look at quote number 3, the third aspect of God's character is the Lord God Michael is long-suffering. Now, there is no Hebrew word for long-suffering because it's a combination of the two words long and suffering. The Hebrew word for long in this context is arak, and it translates and means to be long, to defer, draw out, lengthen, prolong. And that was Strong's word number 748. And the Hebrew word for suffering in this context is nakah, which translates and means to accept, suffer, bear, hold up, and spare. And that's Strong's word number 5375. So even though humanity deserves the penalty of death because of our choice to sin, yet the Lord God Michael draws out, lengthens, and prolongs our time on this earth, deferring or holding up the execution of this penalty and punishment against us until a future time. And why is this? Because the Lord is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance, as we're told in 2 Peter 3:9. And it is the Lord God's Michael earnest longing that his wayward creation find the freedom from Lucifer's dominion that can only come by accepting him as their Savior and God, and thus escape from death and destruction in the end. And this merciful purpose allows him to defer punishment until everyone has had the precious chance to know more about him and the opportunity to investigate into the plan devised for their salvation. And since this realization and understanding takes various lengths of time to finally dawn upon the minds of mankind, then the mighty Lord God Michael accepts our weakness and dullness of comprehension, and then he patiently suffers and bears with all our sins and unrighteous actions, sparing us until we wake up, because he remembereth that we are but dust, as we're told in Psalms 103, verse 14. But at the same time, Michael is not inactive. He's not waiting for mankind to take the initiative, but he is working through the Holy Spirit and heavenly angels to wake us up and bring us all to a knowledge of the truth, so that we can obtain salvation and escape death and destruction. So while the mighty Lord God winks at the time of our ignorance, yet he is actively calling all to come to repentance and find salvation. So just as we're told in 2 Peter 3:15, the long suffering of our Lord is salvation to us. So then this means that the foundation for the mighty Lord God being long-suffering towards humanity and for his patiently enduring all of our faults, mistakes, sins, and dullness of mind is based upon love for us. So God is actually teaching each one of us that love suffereth long. It beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things, as we're told in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4 and 7. So the mighty Lord God Michael patiently endures and bears all of our disobedience, our faults and mistakes, and even abuse towards him, because he loves us, and he hopes that we will finally wake up and be saved. I mean, why else would the Lord God Michael patiently endure all the disobedience and sin against his law? Why else would he suffer all things from those who have ignorantly chosen another master and God, if it was not for the fact that he loves us with an everlasting love and desires us to come to a knowledge of the truth so that we can be saved? But the suffering that the Lord God Michael endures is more than just having to patiently wait for us to finally awake to righteousness and sin not, as we're told in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 34. And this is because every sin against his law, every time someone chooses to reject his ways or to manifest unappreciation of his blessings, causes Michael sorrow and sadness, and at times even great internal pain. And this is because he has shown humanity over and over again exactly how much he loves them and longs for them to come to him and be saved. And thus, when such boundless and infinite love goes unrequited or is unappreciated, it causes the Lord God Michael internal suffering that is similar to, but definitely not on the same scale, as to what you and I feel in our heart when the one that we truly love spurns us and does not return love back. But when our love is finally returned, then all such internal suffering and pain is quickly replaced with beautiful feelings of peace, contentment, and wonderful happiness, because finally our love is appreciated and responded to. And this same wondrous and joyous experience occurs with our Lord God Michael when we finally respond to his love. And in fact, Michael cannot contain exactly how overjoyed he becomes because of you, that one precious repenting soul, coming to him and appreciating his love for you. And Michael breaks forth, and as we're told in Zephaniah 3:17, he will joy over thee with singing. But dear ones, it's not just the Lord God Michael who is overjoyed when one of his creation finally chooses to serve, obey, and to love him as their God. But there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth, which is Luke 15, verse 10. The angels are ministering to each one of us so that we might awaken to salvation. And their interest in working for us captivates a great majority of their attention. And thus, when we finally give in to their workings, there's joy in their presence. But it's not just Michael and all the heavenly angels that are overjoyed, but even the Almighty Lord God joins in the happy heavenly celebration until all heaven is filled with joy over one sinner that repenteth, over you, dear one. All heaven is joyful over you. That's how much God loves you, and the unfallen angels love you. Their whole attention at this time is focused upon seeking to save the lost. And when a lost one finally comes to his or her senses and responds and embraces the Savior, all heaven is singing for happiness. Now, if you look at quote number 4, the fourth aspect of God's character is that he is abundant in goodness. Now, the Hebrew word for abundant used in this text is rab. And this word translates and means abundant in quantity, size, number, quality, abound, and exceedingly. It also means manifold, plenteous, and sufficient. This is from Strong's word number 7227. And the Hebrew word for goodness used in this text is chaked, which translates and means kindness and goodness, which is Strong's word number 2617. So the Lord God Michael is not just kind and good to his creation on an ordinary scale, but he is so abundantly kind and good that it is beyond all computation. It is infinite. And through his goodness, he does not just barely supply our daily needs, but his kindnesses towards us abound in quantity, size, and number, even doing exceedingly above all that we ask or think. And as it was humanity that chose to disobey and to separate ourselves from the Lord God Michael in the beginning, and thus we only deserve punishment from the Lord, yet instead he is good and is kind toward his wayward creation, which is 1 Corinthians 13:4. And all of the manifold blessings he sends us are of the highest quality. So all of these sufficient and plenteous blessings are showered upon us to prove to us over and over again exactly how much the Lord God Michael loves us and how much he is working for our ultimate and eternal good. And thus his love is wooing or drawing us to return to him as our God and faithful husband. It's just amazing, dear ones, when you understand more of the true character or name or glory of our God. If you look at quote number 5, the fifth aspect of God's character is the Lord God Michael is abundant in truth. So the Lord God Michael is not just a little in truth, but he abounds in truth in both quantity, size, and number. And nor is the manifold truth that Michael abounds in just of a mediocre grade, but his truth is of the highest quality. In fact, the Lord God Michael is so abundant and plenteous in truth that truth has interwoven itself so sufficiently and exceedingly throughout his whole divine being that there is nothing in him but truth, thus making him truth itself. So then this means that Michael never deviates from truth, but is fully stable in all his ways and dealings. Michael is never double-minded. Neither is he hypocritical. And so this tells us that the Lord God Michael is really the same yesterday and today and forever. And as the Lord God Michael is a God of truth, as we're told in Deuteronomy 32:4, and never deviates from the truth, then there is no falsehood in him at all. So then whatever Michael says can be trusted to be truth, and nothing but the truth, because God is not a man that he should lie. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? Which is Numbers 23, verse 19. So as God cannot lie, which is Titus 1:2, because it is impossible for God to lie, which is Hebrews 6:18, then Michael's trustworthiness in fulfilling his promises to you and me and the rest of his people is absolute and will indeed occur at the proper time without doubt or question, because he is the faithful God who keeps his word, which is Deuteronomy 7, verse 9. So this also tells us that the Lord God Michael will never lead any of his followers astray, because what he tells them to do or directs them to avoid is exactly what is necessary and best for their welfare. So Michael then is not only the truth, he does not only direct his followers in the correct way to follow, but he also leads them away from sin in order to find everlasting life. So then this shows us that the Lord God Michael is actually the way, the truth, and the life. And therefore, any and all of his followers can trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Which is Proverbs 3, verses 5 to 6. So as Michael is the Lord God of truth, which is Psalms 31:5, and as he indeed loves us, then he rejoiceth in the truth, as we're told in 1 Corinthians 13:6. So then, if any of his followers desire to make their Lord God Michael happy, then they know that in following the truth, they will indeed bring joy and rejoicing to the heart of their loving God. Now, if you look at quote number 6, the sixth aspect of character is the Lord God Michael is keeping mercy for thousands. Now, the Hebrew word for keeping used here is netzar, which translates and means to guard, protect, maintain, keep, and preserve, which is Strong's word number 5341. And the Hebrew word for mercy in the text is cheked, which translates and means loving kindness, favor, and mercy, which is Strong's word number 2617. And this word cheked is derived from the word cheked, and this word translates and means to bow the neck only in courtesy to an equal, which is Strong's word number 2616. So the Lord God Michael just does not dole out mercy on a whim, and neither does he provide mercy on a spare of the moment decision to favor someone with his kindness. But Michael's merciful kindnesses are preserved and maintained and are kept ready to freely bestow upon those of his people who need them. Michael's mercies are, as it were, guarded and protected so that his creation need never fear that his favors will somehow be lost or stolen away from coming to them and thousands of his followers. So this truly shows to each and every one of us that Michael's love never faileth, as we're told in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 8. But it is not just upon his followers that Michael freely bestows his loving kindnesses. Although the Lord God Michael showers his merciful kindnesses upon those of his followers, yet he also sends some of these upon the pagans and upon those who are living in sin and wickedness. And he does this in order to try and awaken them to the truth. Michael longs to have all of these wayward and rebellious people awakened to the fact that they have been deceived and are being misled by Lucifer into dark, discouraging pathways that will ultimately end in their destruction. So Michael sends his merciful kindnesses upon these precious souls in the hope that they will soon choose to come to him and thereby find true and lasting happiness. But now, why does the mighty Lord God Michael send his favor and mercy upon his people, as well as upon those who are still rejecting him and keeping him out of their lives? What is the reason why? It is because of his great love for all of his creation. This mighty Lord God does not see mankind as playthings like the pagan gods are depicted doing. And neither does Michael see them as worthless and undeserving of his attention, whose sole purpose in life is to eke and scratch out a living while rendering him blind obedience or suffering his wrathful punishments when they fail. But Michael sees mankind as truly being his creation, and as such, the offspring or the sons and daughters of God. And so this mighty Lord God Michael courteously tilts or nods his divine, majestic, fatherly head towards every human being in recognition of the fact that even though he is greater than any and all of them combined, yet they are his children and thus equal with him in dignity, worth, and importance. It's just amazing to comprehend this, dear ones. Although each and every one of us, like Esau, has sold our birthright for a mess of pottage of sin, yet Michael sees what all of us have lost. He sees who we really are, and also what we may become with his help. And so Michael wants to redeem us back from being slaves to Lucifer and restore our God-given birthright as his children. He wants to reproduce the image of God in us once again, so that we will no longer be the children of God in name only, but will prove that we are the children of God in character. And all of this merciful and loving kindness is freely offered to each one of us by our mighty Lord God Michael, if we will only choose of our own free will to allow him to accomplish such a divine change in our lives. So then, dear ones, if you will only choose to do so, then Michael will work a change in you and will make you more precious than fine gold, even the golden wedge of Ophir, which we're told in Isaiah 13, verse 12. And with these divine changes in your life and character, you will no longer be the children of the wicked one. You will no longer be the bastard offspring of rebellion and the sire of the bondwoman to be disowned of any inheritance and cast out from eternal life. But you will instead become the children of promise, as we're told in Galatians 4:28. You will become the children of God, as we're told in Romans 8:16. And you will be acknowledged as an heir of God, an inheritor, which is Galatians 4:7. And thus you will become the rightful inheritor of a life measuring with the life of God, which is eternal life. And this is Titus 3:7. So, dear ones, will you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord God and Savior? Will you allow him to bring about such a change in your life that you will truly recognize your exalted position as his son or daughter? If so, then you indeed will be changed and will increase from glory to glory or from one stage of character advancement to the next, through Jesus Christ, your Lord God, Michael, which strengthens you. If you look at quote number 7, the seventh aspect of God's character is that he forgives iniquity and transgression and sin. But isn't iniquity, transgression, and sin just different words that all refer to the breaking of God's law? And the answer is yes. So then why are they called by three different names? The reason is because they are not all the same type of sins, but are three different classifications of sin. The Hebrew word for iniquity used in the text is avon, and this word translates and means perversity, moral evil, fault, iniquity, mischief. And this was Strong's word number 5771. So iniquity in this case refers to God's law being broken by some fault in our character, whether this fault is inherited or formed by our own choice. And this would include those sins dealing with moral evil, such as sexual perversity or immorality or illicit relations or sensual mischief or otherwise uncontrolled passions. But the Hebrew word for transgression used in the text is pesha, and this word translates and means rebellion, transgression, trespass. And this is from Strong's word number 6588. So transgression in this case refers to God's law not being kept because of rebellion, including trespassing beyond the limits or confines of God's commandments. And the Hebrew word for sin used in the text is chata'a, and this word translates and means an offense or sin, which is Strong's word number 2402. So then sin in this case would refer to any other offense that happens to break God's commandments. So I hope that you can see that even though all three of these different divisions are sin, because they all refer to the breaking of God's law, yet they are not all the same types of sin. And these three different types of sin could be committed in a thoughtless or a careless manner, or even done intentionally and knowingly. These could be committed in the times when emotions and passions are allowed to gain the control or ascendancy over reason, or are committed through ignorance, or through a lack of understanding, or are otherwise unintentional. But even though these sins might be unintentionally committed, God's law has still been broken and sin has occurred. And if the sinner would only realize that all who confesseth and forsaketh their sins shall have mercy of the Lord, which we're told in Proverbs 28:13, then they would also have hope that God will forgive all three of these different divisions and types of sins in their lives. And the mighty Lord God Michael will indeed mercifully forgive all of our sins, because he understands that we are all doomed without his divine help, and because of his great love for each one of us. And as the Lord God Michael does indeed love us, then he rejoiceth not in iniquity in our lives, as we're told in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 6, but he is saddened every time we sin, and he longs to free us all from being in bondage and captivity to sin if we would just come to him for help. And for all of those who are tempted to believe that they've gone too far into sin and that it is just impossible for God to forgive them, the Lord God Michael tenderly invites these individuals to come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. And though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool, which is Isaiah 1:18. So the Lord God Michael is extending a personal invitation to each individual who is struggling against the weight of the burden of their sins to come and meet with him in a private one-on-one session. If you agree and meet together with the Lord God, then he promises that his whole attention will be focused and centered upon you until you come to understand that no matter how many sins you're guilty of committing, and no matter how dark your past history, yet he is willing to freely forgive you of them all just for the asking. But dear ones, what is the point of God forgiving you of all your sins without there also being a change in your heart and outlook on life? Without a change of heart, then these sins that you are now cleansed from will continue to hold a power and attraction over you, and you will continue breaking God's law. But with a change of heart, then sin will no longer have the same power over you, and thus it will not be as attractive or pleasurable like it was before. And God's law will then be more easily kept. Now, if you look at quote number 8, there's no way that this great change in our hearts can be accomplished by ourselves. Because in Proverbs 20, verse 9, we're told, who can say, I have made my heart clean? I am pure from my sin? And what's the answer? No one can say that. And we're told in Job 14, 4, who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? And what is the answer to that question? Not one. So just as an Ethiopian cannot change the color of his skin, and neither can a leopard change his spots, so then we cannot also begin doing good when we are accustomed to doing evil. And we're told this very thing in Jeremiah 3:23. So then, just as we must look to God for his forgiveness and cleansing from all our sins, so we must also look to him for this miraculous change to take place in our hearts and outlook on life. And the Lord God Michael will indeed also freely give you this change of heart and outlook on life just for the asking. In Psalms 51:10 we're told, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit in me. And then what does the Lord God Michael promise us if we ask him for this? In Ezekiel 36, verses 25 to 8, then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean. From all your filthiness and from all your idols will I cleanse you. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes. And ye shall keep my judgments and do them. And ye shall be my people, and I will be your God. So the Lord God Michael not only freely promises to completely forgive and fully cleanse you from all your past sins, wiping your sinful slate completely clean and giving you a second chance. But he also freely promises to give you a new and changed heart and a new spirit or outlook on life, so that sin will not be as attractive or powerful over you. And what is this new heart? What is this new spirit? We're told in Jeremiah 31, verse 33, I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. And then in Hebrews 8, verses 10 and 12, I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts, and I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. Praise God, dear ones. So then, with God's law and commandments written in our heart and mind, and a new outlook on life, a new spirit within us, then sin will lose its hold upon you, and you are indeed set free from bondage to begin living a new life, even a life of faith. So then, just like we're told in 2 Corinthians 5:17, old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. So the same will be done in your life. But did you know that Michael even goes further than this? Further than only giving us these great blessings? But he also puts the Holy Spirit within each fully forgiven, cleansed, and new-hearted individual. So thus, with the help of the Holy Spirit, who will reprove you of sin and of righteousness and of judgment, which is John 16:8, bringing it to your attention so you can't possibly ignore it. And the Holy Spirit will teach you all things, which is John 14:26. And the Holy Spirit will also guide you into all truth, which is John 16:13. You can then indeed overcome all of your past habits of sin and live this new life of keeping all of God's commandments. So all these great and merciful blessings are freely given to you by the Lord God Michael, so that you can have the precious chance to fully escape from the tenacious grasp and corrupting nature of all sin, and thus find salvation. Now, if you look at our last quote, number 9, the Lord God Michael mercifully states to each and every one of us, he personally declares to you, dear listening soul, that even though you may have forgotten me days without number, and indeed have sold yourselves for naught in following after all kinds of wickedness and sin, yet ye shall be redeemed without money, and I will cleanse them from all their iniquity whereby they have sinned against me, and I will pardon all their iniquities whereby they have sinned and whereby they have transgressed against me. And then, after doing all this, the Lord God Michael lovingly continues and declares, I will save them, so they shall be my people, and I will be their God. All this is promised if you will just ask for it and believe. If you do so, then the mighty Lord God Michael has already cleansed you from all your iniquities. He has already blotted out as a thick cloud thy transgressions, and as a cloud thy sins. and he has already created in you a new heart, given you a new outlook, given you the Holy Spirit, and you are now his, and he is now your God. This wonderful and blessed opportunity is freely offered to every individual on this earth, irregardless of your spiritual condition. So no matter if you have given loose rein to sexual passion, indulged in all kinds of immorality or whoredom or prostitution or harlotry, or even in the unnatural affection for the same sex, or in any other types of sexual or moral evil, yet the Lord God Michael mercifully states that though thou hast played the harlot with many lovers, yet return again to me, saith the Lord, and all your wickedness will be forgiven. Which is Jeremiah 3 verse 1. This wonderful and blessed opportunity is also freely offered to those who may have once accepted the Lord, but who then slid back into sin, or for those who have tried many times to overcome and yet have failed and gone back into sin. To you, the Lord God Michael lovingly declares, return, ye backsliding children, and I will heal your backslidings, which is Jeremiah 3:22. And this wonderful and blessed opportunity is even freely offered to all of those who are involved in any idolatrous practices, including in any of the various dark and occultic and luciferic teachings of paganism, which of course all originated from Assyria or Babylon and then spread widely through Egypt and into all the world. The Lord God Michael lovingly offers you full forgiveness and complete healing if you will only ask for it and then believe it's yours. In Isaiah 19, verses 21 to 2 and 25, and the Lord shall be known to Egypt, and the Egyptians, who were idolatrous and pagan followers, and the Egyptians shall know the Lord in that day, and they shall return even to the Lord. And he shall be entreated of them, and shall heal them. And the Lord of hosts shall bless, saying, blessed be Egypt, my people, and Assyria or Babylon, the work of my hands. So no matter who you are, and no matter how great your sins or how deep into iniquity, transgression, and sin you might have gone, yet the Lord God Michael states to you, return ye now, everyone, from his evil way, which is Jeremiah 18:11. And he freely promises that he will forgive their iniquity and their sin. He further promises to these returning precious souls that he will give them an heart to know me, that I am the Lord, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God. Which is Jeremiah 24, verse 7. But also realize, dear ones, that as you are returning to the loving and merciful Lord God Michael, he's not just sitting down and patiently waiting for you to stumble along until you finally find your way to him. But at the same time you're coming to him, he is actively searching and looking for you so that you can find him and become completely healed that much faster. We're told in Ezekiel 34, verses 11 through 12 and verse 16. For thus saith the Lord God, behold, I, even I, will both search my sheep and seek them out. As a shepherd seeketh out his flock that are scattered, so will I seek out my sheep and will deliver them out of all places where they have been scattered into sin. Because I will seek that which was lost and bring again that which was driven away, and will bind up that which was broken and will strengthen that which was sick. So, dear ones, the mighty Lord God Michael, as a great shepherd of the sheep, is seeking you out so that he can shower upon you all of these blessings if you will only accept his invitation to meet with him and ask for his help. If you do, then the mighty Lord God will unhesitatingly fulfill all these promises. He will forgive you, cleanse you, change you, and give you his Spirit. And finally, he will lovingly and tenderly embrace you in his strong and protecting arms, because you have indeed become his beloved and prized possession, and he has become yours. And that's all because of God's infinite mercy and love for each one of us, and his willingness to forgive iniquity, transgressions, and sins in all of us. But what about the eighth aspect of God's divine character? Next time, in the fifth part of this series on God Spoke These Divine Words, we'll continue investigating into this amazing way and glory of the Lord's character or his name. Praise God for everything that we have learned and discovered today about the way of the Lord, the beauty of his character. And may we spend time dwelling upon his beautiful image so that we might be more and more changed into this beautiful image. Me too, dear sister. I am in awe on how beautiful Jesus is and how beautiful the Almighty is. It is truly amazing. Our closing song is entitled Blessed Assurance, and the lyrics can be found on our website at lightministries.com/ID1914.htm.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of his Spirit, washed in his blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, perfect delight, visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Angels descending, bring from above echoes of mercy, whispers of love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I and my Savior am happy and blessed, watching and waiting, looking above, filled with his goodness, lost in his love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long.
Amen, dear brother. And praise the Lord for giving it such emphasis. And I pray that the angels were singing along with you and with us so that God's name may be more greatly praised by their additional voices. Indeed, God is worthy to receive glory and honor and power, especially from his redeemed people. So thank you, dear brother. Our dear sister, Sarishia, will now have closing prayer.
Amen. And if we could all bow before our Godhead with humility of heart, mind, and spirit. Thank you, dear wonderful Godhead, for being so merciful, so loving, so peaceful, so long-suffering, so forbearing. Thank you, dear Father, for the lessons that were learned today from the children study to the adult study, dear Father God. They are such a blessing, and I pray that we take a little bit, if not more, from each study, dear Father God, and dive deeper into it and truly learn more of you, dear Father God. To do your will, dear Father, is to have an understanding of what is it that we're doing. And I pray, Lord, that we all walk away today with a sheer amount of understanding of your word. And let it not just stop there, but let us go and investigate some more, dear Father, I pray. Please, Lord, continue to be with us in the after study, dear Father, and in our own homes as we continue to study on your blessed Sabbath day. Please be with us today and guide us and keep us throughout the week as you always do, dear Father God. Help us to cling closer to you, not to lean on our own understanding, and to understand that through you all things are possible. Help us truly, truly to draw nigh to you, dear Father God, and submit our flesh to you and to your will, dear Father God, and to wait patiently on you to take care of all that is that we encounter in our daily lives and our daily walk. Thank you for all that you have done. Bless each and every one of the brethren that are here today, those that were with us but had to leave, those that are listening on the phone, and those that will be listening at a later time. Please guide and protect all our steps. Thank you for all that you do in no other name than your blessed Son, Jesus Christ, to whom we cannot thank enough or praise enough or give enough glory and honor to. Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen, sister, and thank you. Well, dear ones, are there any questions or comments or thoughts? Anything that you would like to share at this time? Please feel free to do so.
I have to say, by God's grace, it's a very beautiful study that you brought, dear brother. And in truth, I think all of us, by God's mercy and grace, when we look past on our lives and what we have been delivered out of, when we take time to reflect on the magnitude of grace that was poured out abundantly towards us through Jesus Christ, it really is going to take an eternity to truly even begin to grasp it and weigh it well. I'm speechless as I consider it truthfully myself. And there are many times when I truly sit and be still and consider it that it really makes me shudder. It makes me weep. It makes me exceedingly thankful, and I really thank the Lord for that. Because I know what He has delivered me out of. And I know how long He has bore with me. And that is by His grace that He helps me to understand that love that He has for each and every one of us individually. And that is why I find that it all the more drives me forward. It all the more picks me back up. It all the more causes me to open my mouth and praise Him. It all the more compels me to share Christ with others. It all the more gives me a greater zeal and desire to live for Him better the next day than I did this day. And it all the more helps me to truly feel the weight of disobedience when I disobey. And I love Him for that. And I love the Holy Father for that. And the Holy Spirit, what a tender friend. So long-suffering. And I love the firmness of the Lord when He comes in and has to shake me and cause me to pay attention. I love Him for that. Even as Psalm 23 says, "Thy rod and thy staff comfort me." They really do. And I believe that there is security in understanding that. We are in very exceedingly solemn yet exciting times. And how amazing that it is that we have been born into such a time as this. How amazing that is. How loving that is that we have allowed to be born into such a time as this. For life is truly a privilege and an exceedingly great blessing. But it becomes even much more when we come to Jesus, when we give Him our all, when we flee from sin, when we put our hands to the plow and we don't look back, when we understand the zeal of our Father's house and we let it truly burn within us. I think that that's a rejoicing, and it really helps along the way when trials come. What a rejoicing to love the Lord.
Amen, brother. Amen. And you brought up a very good point. If we can just think of the goodness of the Lord, then that will help us to avoid going into such discouragement that we lose hope So truly, dwelling upon the Lord and His goodness is what enables the relationship between Him and us and Him to grow and become that much more firmly established. And praise His holy name for allowing us to directly communicate to Him and with Him, and He with us at any time, especially when we need His help. But let us spend time with Him when we don't need His help, just because He's our Father and the Savior is our elder brother and the Spirit is our Comforter. Let us just spend time in communication with our Godhead because of their great love, and not just come to them when we're in need. Let us develop the friendship and the bond, the intimate, loving relationship that they deserve and they're craving from us. Let us indeed open our hearts and let them in and never let them go. A scripture song comes to mind. Sung it many times before, but it is so pertinent. Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. That we should be called the sons of God. That we should be called the daughters of God. 1 John 3:1. Dear ones, are there any other thoughts or comments, any questions, or perhaps other songs that you'd like to sing, or testimonies that you'd like to give? Please feel free to do so before we close. Well, dear ones, I want to thank one and all for coming and fellowshipping and studying together as a group. I pray that God will continue to work in your life to bring about a change that is so broad and deep and all-encompassing that sin will become put out of your life, that self will be fully crucified and buried out of sight, so that only Jesus Christ, His glorious name or character, may be seen revealed in your life. This is my prayer for each one of you, and thank you so much for praying for me and mine this same prayer. So, dear ones, go with God. We're looking forward to fellowshipping with you again soon. And keep looking up.